Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before him. Our Father and our God, we have assembled ourselves together for the purpose of meeting with you. We ask now that you would meet with us. We ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that he who already indwells the believer would now fill us and equip us for this time of worship, and that the consequence of his filling would be twofold. One, that we would leave here more like our Savior than we were when we entered. And secondly, and even more importantly, that he would be glorified. We ask these things of you, Father, in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Or again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to Yahweh. Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. And Yahweh respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So Yahweh said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose against Abel his brother and killed him. Then Yahweh said to Cain, Where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to Yahweh, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And Yahweh said to him, Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. May God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word to our confession of faith. In this case, it's the law of God. It's found on the inside front cover of your hymnal. And we shall read the 10 words responsively. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me,
but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments.
You shall not take the name
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
6 days you shall labor and do all your work.
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you.
You shall not murder.
You shall not commit adultery.
You shall not steal.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet
your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Let's go together before our God in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for this beautiful weather you've given us and this Sabbath day when we can rest from the normal cares and concerns and even pleasures of our everyday lives and to prepare ourselves for heaven by having this taste of heaven and assembling ourselves together before you that we might hear you speak to us. To that end, Father, we've asked you to fill us with your Spirit, and in fact, you have spoken, whether we've heard or not. We pray that you would continue to speak to us as we look to your Word. May we see and hear the things that we as individuals need to see and hear, that we might grow in grace, that we might live for Christ, that we might proclaim him in our lives and with our words to the world around us. That we might be better equipped as fathers and mothers and as brothers and sisters, as sons and daughters, and as the assembly of the saints here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We pray, as we prayed earlier, that we would not leave here the same men and women, or boys and girls, that we were when we entered. But we would be far more like our Savior than before we entered. Now, Father, again, speak to us as we look to your Word. May we hear what we need to hear, that we might walk with you and with your Son, Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Alan and I share an appreciation for a deceased author, Robert Heinlein, who once wrote in one of his books, comparing something, that it was like looking for a black cat in a cellar at midnight that wasn't there. That'd be hard to find, I guess. To find a black cat in a cellar would demand of you and of me some light, something to make that cat contrast. That's what this passage of Scripture is doing for us. Let's turn then to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read verses 10 through 15. There are aspects to this we're not really going to consider this morning, because we'll be considering them next week when we look with this same paragraph and the following paragraph. But for now, let's hear God's inerrant word. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now this passage, when we looked last week, we ended with verse 10, and I pointed out that it sort of concludes the previous section and introduces this section. And it does so by the fact that, like the previous passage, it shows that the children of God and the children of the devil are made evident or manifest by the practice of righteousness, by the habitual, continual act of righteousness in their lives. That is, if you don't have it, you're not of God. If you do have it, then you've been born again from above. And then he says, nor is he who does not love his brother. That introduces this next section, because this next section, running down through, I think, the end of the chapter, actually, concerns itself, and actually it's picked up again in chapter 4, with love. And yet, before you can look at love, you need the contrast. What is love? finding that black cat on a snow-filled field at midday is pretty easy, isn't it? Because the cat and its shadow is black, and everything else is white. You can find it. It stands out. But finding that black cat in the cellar at midnight, and it's not even there. Well, forget the latter part. Let's say it is there. How do you find it when it's black on black in black? Only maybe by step. Cats do like to be stepped on, I think. I don't think it's masochistic. I think it's actually homicidal. They love to trip you and make you get... All of our animals like to do that. I don't... Both felines and the canines like to make sure you're following them, so they stop and look and trip you up that way. But here's the contrast. Not just the contrast between believers and unbelievers, but the contrast between love and hate. And it's given to us actively. Again, the introduction in verse 10, who does not love his brother. And John gives us the message, which he's going to be picking up on and amplifying in the latter part. The message from the beginning of the gospel. Because it's given the night before Christ died. It's in John's gospel in chapters 13 and 15. That message is that we should love one another. And in that gospel, we're told to love one another as he has loved us. But John's trying to keep it short and to the point. From the very beginning that we heard the gospel, we knew that we were to love one another. And here's that contrast between the believer and an unbeliever. And here comes the contrast between love and hate. Not as Cain. Now notice something in verse 12. How many proper names do you have in that verse? Just one. Just Cain. Abel is not mentioned. Why? Abel is not mentioned because the focus is not on Abel. The focus is on Cain. And for contrast, turn back with me to that passage we read in Genesis chapter 4. I will never forget hearing Dr. Van Gemeren, as he lectured through this passage, pointing out a possible re-rendering of verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have gotten a man, Yahweh. The suggestion being, she thought this was the promised one. She thought this is the one who is the seed of the woman who crushed the skull of the serpent. And eschatology is here. The last days are here. Oh, how she must have been disappointed. We know the story. We've read it together. But for that, because of that reason, let's go back then to 1 John. Keeping it in mind. John's not giving us all the details here of the story. He knows that we know, his original audience knew the story very, very well. The details should be there in our mind, the imagery there in our mind. And John supplies even more imagery, which our English Bibles let us down on. For not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, or the evil one is another possibility, and murdered his brother. And murder is a bad translation. A better translation would be slaughtered, or butchered, or even sacrificed. Because the word implies butchering by slitting the throat. The Greek word means that. Which is, in some sense, more detail than the Hebrew passage gives us, but might fill something in for us. Remember the controversy between the two offerings and the two brothers. And Abel brings a sacrifice that he would have slit the throat of a lamb. And the implication here in John is that that's what Cain does. He makes a sacrifice of his brother. I'm not sure I subscribe, as our brother Bob does, that the difference was Abel's was bloody and Cain's wasn't, and that's why Abel's was accepted. I know that's usually the standard understanding. I'm not sure I buy that a wholly. But this does sort of fill in, almost as though Cain were saying, well, God, you want a bloody sacrifice? Here's a bloody sacrifice. He slaughters his brother. He butchers his brother. It's not some... I mean, murder is almost antiseptic, in a sense. It just says, you know, he killed him. This word supplies gory details. And also supplies what we need to see in that phrase, Cain, who was of the wicked one. The hatred in his heart for his own sibling, for his little brother, that he would rise up against him and butcher him, slaughter him, and perhaps, based on the Greek word, slit his throat. I had a nightmare once. In fact, did anyone ever see the movie Witness with Harrison Ford? The first time I ever saw that movie, the scene in the bathroom in, was that Penn Station? No, it was a suburban, 30, I think it was 30th Street Station in Philadelphia it was filmed in. I've probably been in that bathroom, which may be one of the reasons it bothered me, where the Danny Glover puts the jacket over the one fellow's head and then they slit his throat and you see the person jerking and spurts of blood. I could not sleep that night. And it wasn't because of pizza. That image was in my mind. I sat up till the wee hours. I just couldn't get that out of my mind. The callous, heartless sacrifice. The jerking of the body. It was done very, very well to really bother me. You know, it's not a quick death. You bleed to death in pain, and you're probably gasping for air through your own throat. That Cain would do that to Abel, his brother? Because Cain is of the wicked one. We have in the New King James, the wicked one, and then in the last line we have, because his works were evil. It's the same word, the same root word. You could say he was of the evil one and his works were evil, or you could say he was of the wicked one and his works were wicked. Either way would be great, but to use two different English words, I think, separates us from the point. The point is, Cain is just like the wicked one, the evil one. He's a son of Satan, and therefore he acts like Satan, who does not know love, but does know hate. And then the contrast is given to us. He is of the wicked one or the evil one and slaughters his brother. You have to feel that. Who has siblings? And when you're growing up, maybe at some point in time you yelled, "I hate you." But you get a little bit more mature and you cherish them, even their idiosyncrasies. Or their idiotic ways. I love to tease my brothers by saying, "I like to be near you. You make me look thin." I did love my brother Dave's response, you know, "Hey, I put on my pants like every other man. I sit down to do it." This is my brother Dave, with whom I slept and with whom I fought all my life long. And I love him. I could never think, now at least, of slaughtering him. But that's what we do when we're of the wicked one, and therefore our actions are evil. But then notice the phrase, the end. His brothers were righteous. There's something left out explicitly in the verse. Because you see, evil actions are consistent with the evil one. And Cain belongs to him. Righteousness belongs to Jesus Christ. And so did Abel. That's the contrast. Cain hated Abel because Cain belonged to Satan and Abel belonged to God. Cain's actions were wicked because he belonged to the wicked one, and Abel's were righteous because he belongs to the righteous one. And I deliberately use the present tense because Abel still belongs to the righteous one and is with him. That contrast then sets up verse 13. Do not marvel, my brethren. And by the way, this is the only time John calls his readers his brothers. He will refer to them as my beloved or my little children. Here he puts himself with us on the same level because he, like us, is hated by the world. And why is John hated by the world? I left my notes over here. Let's turn for just a moment to John's Gospel, chapter 15. Just one moment. John 15, verse 18. I want you to see it with your own eyes. I'm sure you've read it before, but let's read it again. Jesus speaking to his disciples. John is there that night. This is the same setting and the same discourse which Jesus tells the 11, including John, to love one another as he loved us. That's the same message he's already given us in this epistle. And here that same night, Jesus tells John and the others what he's just told us, in essence. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Why did Cain hate Abel? Because Cain hates God. Because he's of the wicked one. And his brother Abel was of God. And therefore his actions were righteous. That's why God had respect to Abel's sacrifice. And that's why I would not place the emphasis on was it cereal or blood, but was it the hearts of the men? That's far more important than whether it was grain or animal flesh. And if there is a difference between the grain and the animal flesh, then again, it's still the hearts of the men. Because after all, Cain could have traded some bushels of grain for a lamb, if that was the issue. The real heart of the problem was Cain's heart. The world, Jesus tells us here, hates us because it hates him. And it hates us because we're not like them. They want us to fit in. David Smith wrote, It's only natural that the world should hate those whose lives contradict its maxims and condemn its practices. If you walk with Christ, if you live for Christ, your very lives, the very way you speak, brings condemnation to the people around you. Because what Christ has done for you has made you, in your actions, though you and I are still sinners, it has made you, it has made me more holy in our actual working out of our lives than they are. And you are just an arrow pointing at the depths of depravity in their heart. And though they may be gracious to you, and they may cuss and then say, oh, excuse me, with a smile on their face, whatever, you're just a finger in their eye. And if you have the gall to speak to them about the gospel, you've just made it that much worse. Look again at what John writes. We should love one another, verse 11, not as Cain, who was with the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, his brother's righteous. So he says, don't marvel. Don't be amazed, my brothers. If the world hates you, and that brothers means it hates me too. And then listen carefully here. We know, and this is important to understand. The Greek language has a way of adding things to the main word. In other words, you can have "we know" in Greek in one word, but it's not here. Here it's two words. The "we" ending is on the "know," but it adds the preposition, the pronoun "we," which is one way of stressing here, "we know." We know that we have passed from death to life. How do I know that I'm born again? How do I know that I'm no longer dead in my trespasses and sins? It's because I now have the ability to and do actually love you. That's a miracle. And the reverse is true. That I can love my brothers is proof that I've been born again. And it's a confidence builder that I can love you. Because it's not natural. It is not natural. He who does not love his brother abides, or another rendering is, remains in death. You don't love your fellow Christian? It's probably because you're not a Christian. Now let's face it, we still have sin. Those who saw the video, the heart may have been changed, but the periphery is still full of those bumps, those irritating edges known as sin. We sin against each other. And we can be irritating to one another and aggravating to one another. But we can and do love each other, and that's the proof that we're born again. And if we don't, that's the proof that we're not born again, that we still are dead in our trespasses and sins. And then John caps the passage off by using a different word than the murder back in verse 12. If I remember correctly, this is the word for a manslayer. Whoever hates his brother is a manslayer, a killer of human beings. It's not the graphic term we saw before about slaughtering or butchering, but it may be a cleaner death. It might be a less violent death. But we're murderers. Of course, John is echoing what Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. He who hates his brother is a murderer. And we've also been told that Satan has been a murderer from the beginning. Cain was of the wicked one, because his deeds were wicked, because he murders. That by whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding or remaining or making its home in him. So for this part of what John's dealing with here, before he really turns the focus on love, he turns the focus on hate, so we can understand what loving is. And where it comes from. And where hate is and comes from. If you have been born again, you love the other people in this room. If you really have been born again, you do not hate them. You can't. Even if I am obnoxious sometimes. You really do love me. I've seen plenty of examples of that, by the way. That's how we know that we really have been born from above. That's how we know, that's how we are certain that we have the new life. Because we love one another. May God help us to demonstrate that one to another. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before Him. Our Father and our God, we do ask that You would help us to look into our own hearts. Do we have contempt for our brother or our sister? It's not that they've got a personality quirk that really sets us up the wall. Do we just despise them? Help us to see if that's the case, Father, and then to really examine ourselves, because something's wrong. Something's really wrong with us to the degree that we might not be your children. And if we see that that's the case, then Father, I pray that for every one of us here, that we would make sure this day, for today's the day of salvation, that we'd make sure this day, whether we've been born from above, by placing our trust in Christ Jesus, by having that new heart that is your gift, that we might be able to love one another and not be like Cain, who was like Satan. I ask that you grant that to us, Father. And help us to show that brother means more than just our flesh and blood brothers, and even more than our siblings in the family of Christ. But that we'd show that love to those who are our brothers and sisters by being the descendants of Adam and Eve, and taking to them the message of your love, even if it costs us our lives, as it evidently did Abel's. And Father, when we are hated and we are abused, and that's so seldom here in North America, help us to remember that it's only because they hated our Savior first. And let it never be because of our words, our misbehaviors, but rather because of the righteousness that is ours from Christ. We ask this of you in His precious name. Amen.